think I'm entitled?
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The COVID-19 pandemic was one of the worst public health crises that our country has ever faced. We lost more than 1 million Americans to the virus, family members and neighbors, friends and colleagues, and millions more died around the world. The COVID-19 pandemic led to a once-in-a-generation event that not only threatened our public health, but also created unprecedented challenges to our economic and homeland security, as well as our very way of life. As Americans navigated the COVID-19 pandemic, they endured changing healthcare guidance, uncertainty and misinformation about how to best protect themselves and their families from this deadly virus.
You recall every bit of that, don't you? And some of you might still be suffering events from it, maybe long-term COVID, or you see how your children have not developed as fast as you thought they might. And, of course, the worst side of it is perhaps you had to lay a relative in the ground because of COVID. Or was it something else and it simply got labeled COVID because hospitals were getting extra money if they had COVID cases. They were getting extra money if they were guaranteeing and reporting that the patient has COVID. If they had to intubate them, if they had to put masks on them and take them into intensive care, they got additional money. And the cause of death on many death certificates, when it read COVID, many have questioned, did it mean they died of COVID or they died with COVID? We are now beginning to see a deeper inquiry into this. It's going to take a time to sort it all out. But that was part of the hearing yesterday, Senate hearing on the origins of COVID-19, as it just is beginning in this Senate hearing. As I said, it's going to take a time to shake a lot of it out because we've got so much information. And heading up that committee hearing was Democrat Michigan Senator Peters asking the question that we all care about. I don't care your party affiliation. You want to know what's the real story behind COVID. And in addition to everything it cost us, money, suffering, certainly lives, it broke an essential trust between the American people and so-called health authorities. You're right. One of the first I'd point out, Dr. Fake. His book is now out today, On Call. He spent something like 50 years as the NIH director, National Institutes of Health and Infectious Diseases. And he was the go-to guy for five different presidents. And I'm not saying he doesn't know anything. I'm just saying that when he got into the COVID issue, it quickly became politicized. Under the Biden administration, he was on board when Trump was there, and Trump praised him and said, we need to get everything together. We need a fast rollout of drugs. Let's cut through the red tape. And at that time, we weren't really sure what we were dealing with. And I will give everyone room to avoid any blame in those early stages. But remember the term, we just need to get around the curve, we got to flatten out, then we'll be good. We never got there, not for 2 years, after we had not only decimated our economy and destroyed our children's education, but also lost a lot of lives that could have been saved and probably should have been saved, except for orders like Governor of New York said, I don't care if they've got COVID, you put them into a nursing home. That's sending them to a death count. So we need answers, and we need a lot of answers. We'll start breaking it down for you. First of all, again, as always, glad to have you on board. This is June 19th, 2024. This is Larry Connors USA on the air for you from 6 to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday, right here on Newstalk STL. And when we're on the air, we're also streaming video. You can watch the program. You go to Newstalk STL Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, or you can go to Larry Connors USA, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter. If you miss anything, you go to LarryConnorsUSA.com or Larry Connors USA Facebook. You'll find podcasts for the video and audio. And I see more and more of you watching. I appreciate it. I appreciate you adding that you like it. It helps the algorithm as we're dealing with the big tech companies. And at the same time, it reinforces they better not try to mess with us because we got more of you out there supporting us. And at the same time, push the button to share with others. Let me take a quick moment to remind you, here we are at June 19th, June 25, next Tuesday. We have a big event coming up. News Talk STL, along with the Heritage Foundation, Saving America 2024. Focusing on the economy and the courts. Joel Griffith and Jack Mazak Smith from the Heritage Foundation will be there giving a presentation and open for questions. It's going to be June 25th. Doors open at 6:30 at the St. Charles Funny Bone. And I can get you free tickets. But you need to do this. You need to go to newstalkstl.com. Newstalkstl.com and simply say you want tickets. I think you get forward one time. We need tickets just so we know how many to accommodate. Cost you nothing, but I look forward to seeing you. So let's go back to the Senate hearing yesterday as they were, this is the House Committee on Homeland Security and Government Affairs hearing from various experts on what the current information suggests about the beginnings of SARS-CoV-2. Now, the natural origins theory, the lab leak theory, the data supporting them, all heavily discussed. Dr. Fake was not on the witness stand yesterday, but Kentucky Senator Rand Paul had his say.
Today we are here to examine one of the most critical and debated questions of our time. Did COVID-19 originate in a lab? To answer this question, let's revisit the early days of the pandemic and examine what some of Dr. Anthony Fauci's inner circle said privately about the origins of the virus, discussions that were only revealed through FOIA litigation. Christian Anderson wrote, "The lab escape version of this is so friggin' likely to have happened because they were already doing this type of work, and the molecular data is fully consistent with that scenario." Ian Lipkin stressed the nightmare of circumstantial evidence to assess regarding the possibility of inadvertent release, given the scale of bat coronavirus research pursued in Wuhan. Bob Gary said, "I really can't think of a plausible natural scenario where you get from the bat virus or one very similar to it to COVID-19, where you insert exactly 4 amino acids, 12 nucleotides, and all have to be added at the exact same time to gain this function. I just can't figure out how this gets accomplished in nature." According to Gary, it's not crackpot to suggest this could have happened given the gain-of-function research we know was happening at Wuhan.
We know was happening, and Dr. Fauci knew it. I had a discussion the other day with someone. He said, well, Fauci didn't really know what was going on. He didn't have access. Well, therein is an issue. He was approving money to go to that lab. If he didn't know what was going on and he didn't have access to it, which I certainly agree he didn't, then why the hell were we sending money to them? I'm all about, I've said repeatedly, it is a good idea for our scientists to take a look at these various possible viruses, pathogens that might be weaponized against us, and know how to defeat them and or protect our American people. But you don't ask your enemy to do the investigation for you, and you give them money to help carry it out. For them to weaponize it, and to turn around and use it against you. You'd have to be an idiot to do that. That brings me right back to Dr. Fake again. He knew what we were doing. He did not have access. He wouldn't let him in. Even when we had a UN special counsel try to go in and take a look at it, they were not allowed to go in the lab. They had to read what the lab decided to write to hand them. And they put that in a report like it was something specific and that they had detailed themselves. They did not. Now, these witnesses they had yesterday, they had four different witnesses, and they were pretty evenly divided on which theory they favored. A couple of them would not completely, or I should say, they would not completely rule out that it originated from a lab incident, and they believe there was evidence supporting a natural origin theory. When you just heard Dr. Paul state you had to have all of these things come together one time, you don't think that was man-made? And then, of course, what was going on behind the scenes where the American people were totally in the dark? Senator Rand Paul.
Federal court orders reveal that even Dr. Fauci himself privately acknowledged concerns about gain-of-function research in Wuhan and mutations in the virus that suggest it might have been engineered just days before he commissioned the proximal origin paper. Despite these private doubts, publicly these so-called experts and their allies were dismissing the lab leak theory as a conspiracy. Within days, Anderson, Lipkin, and Gary were putting final touches on what would be remembered as one of the most remarkable reversals in modern history. In their proximal origin paper, these scientists concluded, "We do not believe that any type of laboratory-based scenario is plausible." Privately, they were saying one thing. Publicly, they were saying another. Media pundits parroted the narrative while social media platforms censored discussion about the lab leak, labeling it as misinformation and stifling open discourse about the virus's origins. The cover-up went beyond public statements. Federal agencies and key officials withheld and continue to conceal crucial information from both Congress and the public. For instance, Dr. David Morenz of the NIH deleted emails that could have contained valuable insights into early discussions. When he deleted them, he made the comment, "I think we're safe now."
Yeah, I think we're safe now from being discovered. Not we, the public, are safe from COVID. You heard Senator Paul referring to Gary. That's Robert F. Gary, professor, associate dean at the Tulane University School of Medicine. He co-authored the paper titled The Proximal Origin of SARS-CoV in 2020. That paper did not rule out a lab leak theory, but basically concluded a lab-based scenario was not plausible. And then, of course, you had medical advisor to the White House at the time, Anthony Fauci, citing that same publication when speaking in support. It had to originate naturally. And yet, subsequent reporting and statements by Fauci and others reveal that Fauci, along with these others, were in communication with the authors before they published the piece, going back and forth, is this good, is this good, should we do this? In other words, they were basically colluding to suppress the lab leak theory. And in fact, Missouri Senator Josh Hawley stated, "It's absolutely disgraceful, Dr. Gary. You're part of this propaganda effort. I mean, you're right at the center of it. It's astounding." Now, since I brought up Senator Hawley as he lashed out at this scientist co-authoring a paper that he knew was fraudulent, he had in front of him as they're beginning hearings on what the hell is happening at Boeing. Here's a question from Senator Hawley to the Boeing CEO.
Mr. Calhoun, what is it that you get paid currently?
Senator, that's well disclosed in our proxy documents in each of the years that I've been employed.
Yeah, but what is it?
It's a big number, sir.
Well, let me help you out. It's $32.8 million this year. Does that sound right?
Yes, it does.
That's a 45% increase over last year. Does that sound right?
Yes, it does.
What is it you get paid to do exactly?
I get paid to run the Boeing company.
No. So just help me understand that. I mean, do you get paid for transparency? Is that one of the metrics for your income?
I think the board counts on me for transparency.
Really? Because you're under investigation for falsifying 787 inspection records. The Boeing's under criminal investigation for the Alaska Airlines flight. You were investigated by DOJ for criminal conspiracy to defraud the FAA. This is all in your tenure. This doesn't sound like a lot of transparency to me.
No, it doesn't to me either. He's not even transparent about his salary. Well, it's in the records. He did not want that public for the record. He said, it's in the records. He said, what is it exactly? It's a big number. Let me help you. It's $32.8 million. Yeah, that's right. Is that 45% increase over last time? Yes. In our next hour, hour number two, we're going to have more on Missouri Senator Hawley pressing the Boeing CEO after whistleblowers report the company continues to put the bottom line, which includes the CEO's salary, ahead of safety. That's in our next hour. In the meantime, more disturbing news about Iran and its plan to build nuclear weapons. Former Secretary of State, former CIA Director Mike Pompeo says right now Iran is leveraging Biden's weakness.
Until the United States begins to hold Iran accountable, the center of this, we talked about this on October 11th and 15th and 20th, right? So 8 months ago, until you go to the seat of power, the place that is causing all this trouble, all this murder, all this terror, then you're going to continue to see it. And whether it is the precision guided munitions, and we shouldn't forget that in Lebanon, these aren't just artillery rounds like out of Gaza. These are rounds that can pick a target, a house, and actually strike a facility, real complex, high-end precision-guided munitions that sit in the hands of Hezbollah in Iran. Until you begin to impose costs on Iran, whether it's Hezbollah or the Houthis in the Persian Gulf and the Red Sea or the militias in Iraq, you're going to continue to see Western interests, American interests at threat and at risk. You have to go to the center, the head of the snake, and the administration has simply refused to do that.
And the head of the snake is Iran. As we were discussing yesterday, Fred Flights, 25 years in CIA and Department of Intelligence Agency. And Mike Pompeo says right now, not only with Biden's weakness, but it's our election season, Iran sees an opportunity.
I certainly think that this is the window that the Iranians think they can use to exploit and harm American interests. There's no doubt about that. And you can see what's taking place today. We had 8 Israeli soldiers killed. We've had over 1,000 Israelis killed. We still have Americans held hostage. And the Iranians feel like there is literally no cost between here and, frankly, not just November, but January until a new president might take office. We understood for 4 years, Martha, we didn't get it right every day on everything, but we understood deeply that the greatest state-sponsored terror in the world is the regime in Iran, and you have to punish them, sanction them, impose costs on them. And absent that, you get exactly the chaos we see in the Middle East today. And the Gulf states that want to be our friends and allies are going to hedge their bets if the United States walks away Absolutely. From helping Israel defeat these terrorists.
We do that, and they see, why should we hang on to the U.S.? Question, between Biden's actions with Iran, which led to more threats to our national security, and his open-door policy, which does the same, I want to ask you, how many Americans are you willing to let die before we start increasing U.S. security at home and abroad? At home by closing the border. How many more Americans do we need to die before we say, shut the damn border again? How many Americans have to die because we allow Iran and its terrorist activities to continue to escalate because this administration will not put full sanctions on? I'm going to get into that again in the next hour. Coming up, my guest reinforces that the lawfare on Trump is part of a strategy to suppress you. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
My sponsor, Wellington Environmental, has helped thousands deal with hazardous materials. Hospitals, offices, schools, even homes. Here's something new. Wellington now offers dustless blasting. This is just like sandblasting, but without all the dust and emissions. Wellington uses everything from ground glass, walnuts, corn, even dry ice pellets. One university had Wellington remove their parking lot striping because dustless blasting is fast and it does not damage the concrete. So as a business or homeowner, I'm sure you could use this process. Industrial tanks, swimming pools, graffiti on buildings. And in fact, Wellington is blasting a Texaco station. that will be revised as an historic building. Check the website for details and photos, WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
If you haven't been to Lit Cigar Lounge in the District at Chesterfield, you're missing a great experience. Premium cigars, drinks, spacious seating, TVs in every direction. This and more explain why Lit was voted Best Cigar Lounge 2 years in a row. Now you can be at Lit and order Napoli Brothers pizza and pasta delivered to you. In fact, Napoli's just a few doors down, a coal-fired oven giving a unique taste. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, now open in the Chesterfield District.
Are you thinking about buying medicine online? A search for online pharmacies yields more than 20 million results. But which ones can you trust? Medicines bought from unlicensed online pharmacies can be dangerous. You may get a fake drug, your condition may get worse, or you may experience a bad reaction. Don't put your health at risk. To learn how to find an online pharmacy that's safe and legal, visit fda.gov/besaferx. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. My guest we've had on before, and you might have even seen him on repeatedly on Newsmax. He is a political analyst, has his own program as well. And he's got a piece out now, an opinion piece I want to share with you, titled Trump's Legal Woes, Part of a Broad Strategy to Suppress Dissent. That means it's targeted at you, this lawfare going after Trump. As Trump has said, first they're coming for me, and then they're coming for you, and they're coming for you through me. Judd Dunning, good to have you on board again, sir.
Great to be here, Larry. God bless America. How are you?
Oh, God bless America is right. Let me take a moment to point something out to folks and to give you a few moments to explain how this evolved for you. 30 years ago, you were a liberal and switched to conservative. What the hell happened? Which I'm glad did.
Yeah, I can give you a real quick one on that. You know, it's interesting. If I track my roots back in my book. Like, we came over in 1770. We fought the British. I'm directly related to Robert E. Lee on one side. Part of the family came over from we had land down in Cuba, and we, like, Fidel Castro shot my mom's dog and took the ranch, and they came back. They were, like, New Yorkers down there. And the other part of our family came from the pogroms in 1906. Like, came in. So, you know, we're true Americans. And, but Judd Dunning, I was in business school, and I got scouted off the street to model an act when I was like 20. And I went to take a class to finish my business requirements, right? I thought it'd help my sales. Next thing you know, I ended up in a soap opera in Hollywood, and I went to Colorado State University. And at the time, it still is. It was, I didn't hear one conservative thought. And, you know, my bleeding open heart opened up, and I applied the flawed concept of liberalism to life, thinking that, you know, my feelings were more important than facts, as Ben Shapiro said.
Oh, yeah.
And then I got hijacked in Hollywood, you know, and then I'm a 9/11 conservative. Like, I woke up in a Buddhist teacher. I just came back from a week of meditating in silence. A Buddhist teacher who was actually a hawk and a conservative converted me back to the rationality of my youth. You know, I was definitely a normal human before I got abducted. But anyway, I've been back a while, buddy. I'm 58.
Well, I'm glad you're back and you're taking a strong stance. You point out in your article all these counts against Trump, conviction as it stands right now, falsifying records, you point out this isn't about justice. It is a coordinated attack to take down a political opponent. We all agree with that. Go ahead.
Well, absolutely. I mean, if you look at right behind Alvin Bragg's dormant activity, when it came back, Robert Schumer, who's a brother of Chuck Schumer, was behind the legal firm that was like pushing them to do so. Yeah. You know, there are very coordinated forces, and America's not stupid. And that's why, you know, in Vegas, in my last article, you know, there with, you know, America's betting 68 to 25 or something on with 9-5 going to Kennedy on Trump. And then if you look at the actual people that are reacting to cases, because they know he's being targeted, we're not stupid human beings. 67% of people are like, I'll vote for Trump anyway, even if he gets the conviction. So,
they're proudly saying, I'm voting for a felon this time.
Yeah. I call it the cabbie test, right? I live half my life in California and half in Texas, right? I like the taxes and I like the people, right? So we're here a little less, but I still serve, so I'm here. But I call it the international cabbie test.
Right.
Every time you take an Uber, you ask somebody, hey, you know, I'm curious. And I have no judgment. What do you think about, you know, America, where you go? I've talked to people across the spectrum. And they're like, well, privately, you know, I really think Trump's the force that we need, blah, blah, blah. And I'm outright in this degree. I don't think Trump's perfect. I think he's a deconstructionist. I think he can be very loud and at times. I think he's fantastic.
I agree.
But I think that we're looking for a diametric deconstructive force again. And we saw it in Italy. We saw it in Denmark. We need to rip over to the right for a while. Let our country come to the center. And then, you know, if a good-hearted Democrat with some, you know, some JFK principles that, you know, even Bush said he was, you know, George Bush Sr. said he was influenced by, gets in, that's okay. It's okay if our country weaves back and forth. But we're fighting for the soul of America right now with this lawfare. We're down to 33 in the world. As our democracy on the freedom ratio, people don't trust us anymore.
Well, then you look at what happened with the European Union election. I mean, a lot of it's shifting to the right, not the right as we describe it here, but they're moving away from liberal, woke, green policies. They might have a new prime minister in France, and of course, you've got Milei down in Venezuela. So a lot of the world is backing up, saying this left, wokest climate push is out of our trajectory, and we don't want anything to do with it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, the thing that's really tough this last couple of weeks is people forget, you know, when John Edwards was pushed out of the race because he was covering up a an affair. But the truth is, in business law, the reason money exchanges hands is because you have a right with your First Amendment to not reveal what you say as well as to say what you say. It's a two-edged sword. So, you know, he got off acquitted. There was a hung jury. And Trump is at the butt of 34 felonies. These are misdemeanors. You know, so I think I think people aren't stupid. I think we're okay on this.
What they're going to say, though, is look, in fact, Biden's already said it. The DOJ convicted or went after my son only because I am running for president. In other words, he's suggesting his own attorney general and everything. They're targeting Hunter to simply because they want to have lawfare against him. When on one hand, we have to say it looks like a sacrificial lamb, and you're going to end up giving him, if not a pardon, you'll commute the sentence before you leave office.
Yeah, no, that's great. Like loyalty amongst. It'd be so easy for America if Biden's like, you know what, my son had a drug problem, and I'm going to acquit him. And I think most of the world would be like, yeah. It shows you how his allegiance really is this plutocratic globalist cabal of hard left progressives who are allied not with America but with, you know, a world agenda. He's willing to burn his own son. I think it would be the most forgivable of acquittals, like your son, you know, it would be okay. But the reason is because this, you know, S rolls downhill. I mean, they know that if they don't hold some kind of line, it opens up Hillary. It opens up Obama. It opens up Biden. They've got to, so he's willing to burn his own son instead of open up the precedent to himself that, you know, for his actions, which he, by the way, his, if everyone remembers, his records were forgiven. His record abuses were forgiven with his own record keeping because
right.
he wasn't mentally capable enough.
Right.
I mean, what is going on?
And they continue to hold the audio tape so we can't hear it. We can't hear him. I'm going to say, did you understand me? I don't think you did. I didn't understand myself. I fell into Biden mode.
Yeah. It just depends how good the steroids and the speed are on that day, I guess. Because some days he'll snap into, you know, Grandpa gets pretty clear, you know, and you're like, gosh darn it, how did that happen? The next day he can't even, like, he doesn't even know where he's at.
Well, let's evaluate. Let me get your opinion of what's going to happen coming up not too soon, not too far from now, June 27th, the next Thursday, that first debate. Now, he's already got it on CNN, which they were thinking Trump would not want to participate. They got Jake Tapper in it. They're going to have the mics cut off as if they go over their time, and there will be no audience and no props. So he's got everything set in his favor. How do you think he's going to do?
Well, it's interesting. You have to look at his strategy last time. America used to decide on debates, and I think we lost that over the last 12 years, you know, in the last three cycles. We don't decide over the debates. I think it's only 12 years old. So now it's the ideology is more – achieving the ideological alliance is more important than the individual freedom-based individual citizen's decision based upon someone's valence and communication and credibility. So it doesn't matter anymore. So I think what's going to happen is Biden's going to have his earpiece in again, and he's going to talk about people getting out to the vote, et cetera. He's going to talk about the felony. He's going to have three or four talking points, and it's not going to be a conversation. It's going to be Trump, you know, laying out his genuine attacks and trying to do expose, which is going to alienate certain people, but that's his beauty, I think, and his commitment to truth. Even if it's not comfortable, right? He doesn't care if other people are comfortable, which is his strength. And Biden is going to, you know, come on, man, and, you know, be definitely jacked up on some NAD.
When you've had an uncle eaten by cannibals, I mean, you got a lot of stories to pull forward. So I would think that Trump would do best not to be, and quite honestly, I thought if Biden suddenly has one of those moments where he freezes and he's absolutely lost, I think it would be an outstanding, not only performance, but an actual act for Trump to get up and go and say, are you okay? Are you all right? Oh my God, I could imagine the response.
That's right, a compassion play.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you hear, I loved yesterday's, you know, as he attacked the Second Amendment, that, you know, we couldn't own cannons back in the day.
Right.
That you need to own an F-12, so it doesn't matter if you have an assault rifle. I just have to – can I just go down that line for 1 second?
I mean, I got 15 seconds for you. Go ahead.
Yeah. The government has 4 million guns. We have, like, over 350 million, right? So it's he's not even making any sense. It's a great pleasure to be here, Larry. I'll come back anytime.
We'll
you are a
again.
Gentleman and a scholar and a patriot. Thank you.
Judd, thank you very much. Judd Dunning. Check him out. Coming up, words from a Catholic nun that says clearly God needs to be involved in this election.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
John Beale knows that right after a hailstorm, new roofing companies start popping up everywhere. But the Small Business Administration reports 96% of them go out of business within the first 5 years. So how good is that warranty? John Beale started in the roofing business, helping his granddad and his dad. Always offering the best roof, best price, best guarantee. John Beale Roofing, not some fly-by-the-night operation. Call my friend John. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Hey, this is a great time to get fantastic deals at Ackerman Toyota, number one volume dealer in the area. Why? Very simple. They want to make you happy. They'll come up with a deal that puts you in the driver's seat. You'll be smiling as you drive off the lot. You got a trade-in? You're going to get top dollar from Ackerman. Looking for a premium used car truck? Ackerman is the answer. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA. That's a big game, man.
He's really losing control.
I'm trying to nasty about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
He is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Legal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
My sponsor, McGuire Moving, has job openings for drivers and movers offering competitive pay. You can be off every night if you want or on the road. You're off every other weekend. Full benefits, insurance, paid vacations. But McGuire is a very good company. So here's a very important requirement. You must excel in making customers happy. Full or part-time job? More information, go to McGuireMoving.com. Apply online at McGuireMoving.com/careers.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
It's an election year in the U.S. In normal times, an election is the moment when ordinary people can take back control of their nation's destiny. But these are not normal times. Across the globe, men and women are waking up to the alarming truth that governments no longer serve God or the people. And beloved, I'll interrupt to say myself that if President Trump gets in, it's a complete act of God. If Biden is not reelected, it is a complete act of God, because every scheme and every evil is out there that he would continue to be our president, as inept and evil as he is, at least done evil things. Those that surround him and advise him and even direct him, the devil is wise. And I would not put it past them to do anything. So we are up against not just an election, but an absolute war for good against good and evil.
I think we're often in that war. Those are the words from a Catholic nun on a personal podcast she put up. I want to thank Ken Williams, who's the producer for the Vic Percelli Show. He came across it and shared it with me. And what she is saying, I think many of us truly believe. We are at a point now, as we were discussing with Judd Dunning, we need to fight to save our nation. We're at a point now to also recognize we're being pushed by evil. Evil. Now, you can have different opinions about abortion. You and I could disagree on that. And even among those who are against abortion, there is still some disagreement as to at what point that they might allow it. But when you get evil people that just want to destroy anything and everyone in their path until they hold all the reins of power, control, you're facing an evil master. I don't think we want to do that. And I think her words should be taken to heart. And based upon our discussion we just had with Judd Dunning about how all of this lawfare against Trump is really aimed at you, that is, again, part of the evil you're facing. And as she's saying, if Biden were to win, it would be evil winning out. Now, if you go through the Bible, in the Old Testament, there were many times God allowed evil to win over the more righteous, either as punishment are setting a lesson for them, wiping out Jerusalem repeatedly, destroying the temples repeatedly. So it's not beyond God to test us to that point. Also says he won't test us beyond a point that we can't handle it, but right now I think we're getting so close to that, I don't know how you're going to handle it. And this is not even directed at Joe Biden. It's directed at the movement. You can call it woke. You can call it green altar-sharing loving gods or whatever they want to call it. But it's anything that destroys a fabric of our nation and what we're built on and our Constitution. We are a beacon of light to the rest of the world, as is Israel. One of my prayers every night that God continues to keep his arm again around us and protect us from men of flesh. And I'm not going to try to say that Joe Biden is the devil, but he is surrounded by people who really don't believe in God at all, and they really believe in evil, And they have no problem, apparently, with all this human trafficking that we've had through the Biden administration coming across our border, bringing in children, women, even young boys, men, to be trafficked for sex purposes, sometimes slave labor. The horrifying events those children go through to get here, and then once they're turned in to people in this country that are going to control them for the remainder of their lives, however short it might end up being. It doesn't break your heart. I got to tell you, you have no soul. And all this lawfare against Donald Trump, and just yesterday, word came out again that another email had surfaced. It had been released by the committees looking at the ties between Hunter Biden and Daddy. Fox reported it, but they said they could not confirm whether Hunter took up the opportunity. But when he got a 2013, in December 2013, Biden-Hunter went with his father, then Vice President Joe Biden, on a six-day trip around Asia that included China. And while in Beijing, Biden did introduce his father to one of his Chinese business associates. And then, in fact, he later attended multiple events Hunter did with his dad, including a lunch featuring some of the most powerful Communist Party leaders in China. And Hunter was asked at one point, you think your dad can come have lunch with the premier directly? And could the premier sit with my dad? And the former governor of Hong Kong, a billionaire of the Chinese People's Political Conference, said, let me work on that. Now, the details are not confirmed that they ever got such a meeting together. But it is, again, just more ties and bits and pieces coming together to say that Hunter Biden and Joe Biden were often involved in deals with China. And can you not recall the words of Joe Biden? My son had nothing to do, made no money on what's that thing you call a China? Like it's some obscure nation buried in the midst of Europe and nobody knows about it unless you live there. All right, let me turn to something else. And this is something I wanted to highlight in a different way, but I'm going to make the most of it now. Many of you know the Say Hey Kid passed away yesterday afternoon. 93 years old. Major League Baseball legend, Willie Mays. Whether or not he's one of the greatest, it depends upon your comparisons to various ones, but He was a 20-year-old playing with the New York, or making his debut as 20 years old with the New York Giants. 1951, that was after he got their attention while playing in the Negro American League when he was still in high school. Scouts were coming after him. He went on to become a 24-time All-Star, 2-time MVP, 12-time Gold Glover, 2-time All-Star Game MVP, Rookie of the Year, 1954 World Series champion. All of that, of course, easily leading to Hall of Fame induction. He wowed the crowds with thunderous home runs, slick baseball running. One of the most iconic plays ever in MLB, a 1954 World Series, forever called The Catch. He's running away from the ball, and it's coming over his left shoulder, and he catches it as it comes down in front of him. Now, you see a lot of that happen now, but he was the one that was recorded at that point in that World Series as making the catch. And let me share the words of the New York Giants chair. He said, "Today we lost a true legend. The Say Hey Kid is the ultimate forever giant. He had a profound influence not only in the game of baseball, but on the fabric of America. He was an inspiration, a hero, who will be forever remembered and deeply missed. Willie Mays, the Say Hey Kid." Most of us would agree that California and Governor Newsom are wacky, to say the least. Well, Shark Tank host and business entrepreneur Kevin O'Leary directly blames Gavin Newsom for destroying that state. That story when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount. They pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Gavin Newsom made a huge mistake. I think he knows that now. He's turning this state into a sort of a version of Venezuela, and it's just killing business. Not only in restaurants, but in everything. There's all kinds of capital leaving here for more competitive states, and that's a good thing. Competition of states in America. You see what's going on in Tennessee, Florida, Texas. They're dragging all these companies that can't make money anymore in Gavin Newsom's. I've met him. He's a nice guy, but I can't be more critical of his policies. Mm. He's a bad manager. He's decimated this place. I've been coming here for 15 years. This is a shell of what it used to be.
A shell of what it used to be. That's Kevin O'Leary, Shark Tank host, and also the O'Leary Fund hedge manager. And he knows of what he speaks because he looks at things on a business scale. He said, "The analysis that they saw just last week, most quick service chains have raised menu prices in the state of California anywhere from the mid-single digits to mid-teens percentage-wise, and obviously that's hurting business. It found through Feb and March of this year, foot traffic at major chain restaurants in California was actually up year over year, higher than the national average, and then when they put in that $20 minimum wage, it went the other way. And as a result, restaurants unable to keep up the rising cost, closing the doors, some in an unexpected manner. As he said, Gavin Newsom made a huge mistake." And O'Leary gives him a little grace, saying, "I think he knows that now." I don't know that he does, Kevin. Or he knows, but it doesn't affect him. He's not going to be going to any of those fast food places. He's dining at the French Laundry in the Napa Valley. But he did say Newsom should have been taking pages from the way states Tennessee, Florida, and Texas have been treating their business and their people, and that includes taxes. There's something else going on in California that Quentin called to my attention, and it's just really strange. It involves directly Los Angeles City. Somebody on a social media platform said, according to this opinion piece written about this story, they're 100% right. Everything's gay. Now, gay used to be happy, happy, right? But gay, of course, obviously has a different meaning now. And this is not meant to go against gay people or anything, but it has a background that might surprise many of you. It did me. I'd never heard of it before. But the story is told by an affiliate in Los Angeles, begins with focusing on road signs. Here we go.
LA City representatives are writing an old wrong in Silver Lake. Here it is. And it also do with street signs. Signs that read no U-turn. It came down today. The signs, in addition to no cruising signs, were posted in the 1990s by neighbors who were targeting LGBTQ community members.
It was no coincidence that these signs were put up after the LGBT community continued to grow more in the 90s here in Silver Lake. In fact, they were part of the reason they were probably put up was because there was an LGBT bar that was just literally down the street from the same area. It's good that we're trying, that we're finding the areas and the symbols within our own very city that continue to have these hateful remnants of the past.
So a U-turn sign is a hateful remnant of the past. In 1997, neighbors were complaining about gay men hanging out looking for dates in certain residential areas close to those popular gay bars, so they had signs up, no cruising. Well, they finally got those removed in 2011, but they had a lot of no U-turns remained. And now it's been decided, no, those no U-turn signs, those are also discriminatory against gays. So all the no U-turn signs have to come down. You can go in a lot of different ways on this issue about no U-turn signs. I'm going to leave that to you. Bottom line is, as I said a moment ago, I think many of us would agree, if not most of us, California is wacky. And filled with wacky people. Coming up, Senator Hawley putting the Boeing CEO under the fire, in the fire. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.